Welcome to Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent. To listen to past episodes of Indie Audio and of the podcast Indestructible, go to independent.org. That's independent.org. If you like what you hear, please help support The Independent by going to our webpage and donating or becoming a subscriber.
This is Anne Schneider. I reviewed the book Why Women Have Better Sex Under Socialism for the November 2018 issue of The Independent. And the book was put out by Kristen Godsey, and it's published by Random House in 2018. The title of my piece is Why the Reds Were Better in Bed. What if you had your own guaranteed income, 6 months paid maternal leave, free health care, and government-subsidized daycare? Wouldn't that turn you on? It's no pipe dream. For 70 years, the Soviet bloc countries provided these benefits and much more to its women, and not solely to ensure a growing population of future workers. The Russian Revolution was sparked by women going factory to factory, demanding that the Tsar pull out of World War I. At least at the initial flowering of Bolshevism, women's rights were at the forefront. This history has been obscured, if not deliberately suppressed, here in the bastion of free markets. Kristen Godsey is an ethnographer who's known for her research in Bulgaria, Romania, and the Czech Republic. This book elaborates on an opinion piece that she wrote for the New York Times last year, and it went viral. Not all of these benefits survived Stalin's reign. But the mere fact of the Cold War between East and West meant healthy competition to demonstrate who's got a superior quality of life, i.e., one free of racism and sexism. And free love did exist, right up to the demise of the Soviet Union in 1991 and the fall of the Berlin Wall. But the free love episode culminated in the Great Orgasm War, which was measured by women reporting their own sexual satisfaction. So while the U.S. was sending men to the moon, Czech sexologists were uncovering the mysteries of the clitoris. The 70s and 80s were the golden years for sexual expression of all types in the Eastern Bloc. A 1984 study of comparative sexual satisfaction in East and West Germany found that the GDR, that's the East Germany, youth reported being highly satisfied with their sex lives, both women and men. 85% of the young women reported that they achieved orgasm often or almost always. The same questions were posed in 1988 in the Federal Republic of Germany, also known as West Germany. Less than half of the young women, 46%, reported feeling sexually satisfied after their last sexual encounter. This compared with 84% of their male partners. Godsey writes about the responses to her 2017 op-ed and uses some of them to compare the experiences of women who grew up during socialism to those of their daughters. One young Bulgarian woman wrote that her mother, the second thing she always asks her after "how are you" is, "are you having enough sex?" Sadly, we in the U.S. are having less and less sex, according to annual social surveys. Little of the so-called sexual revolution remains 50 years after that phrase came into currency. This decade, only 66% of 18 to 30-year-olds reported having sex at least twice per month, compared to 73% 20 years ago. And 18% of this age group reported having had no sex at all in 2016. And that, if you recall, is the year before sexual harassment became a national concern. There may be many reasons for this, but as the author writes, Kristen Godsey, even the best stimulation will not help to achieve pleasure if a woman is stressed or overworked and worried about her financial or future stability. One consequence is a declining birth rate, which in the U.S. is at a 38-year low of 1.77 children per woman. In the first 5 years after free market reforms were introduced in East Germany, the birth rate plummeted by 60%. Neither lean-in feminism, which tells us to become better at advancing our careers, nor religious exhortations about our highest calling offer any viable solution to this problem. Socialism, by definition, means social provisioning of housing, healthcare, public transportation, education, and childcare. In the U.S., Medicare and Social Security remain the most popular government programs of all time. Social insurance for men and women, whether in or out of the workplace, was introduced to Russia by Alexander Kollontai following the 1917 revolution. It survives today, and Vladimir Putin's encountering great resistance to his effort to raise women's retirement age from 55 to 63. As socialism comes back into vogue today, we should be realistic about both the flaws and achievements of past socialist experiments. As Godsey's book highlights, a 21st century socialism could give us a lot more than Medicaid for all, free public college, and a Green New Deal. Whoopee!
That was the Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent, produced by Elia Grant.